wasn't here last Sunday. We were on vacation. Everything went well. Many of you have asked. We appreciate that. Looking at Bruce's sermons on Sunday morning, he had part one and part two. And he's been talking about how our actions may speak louder than words. People watch us. People know what we do. And that influences them sometimes. Tonight, we're going to talk about preaching and teaching. What we say affects what people do. And, you know, the old saying that actions speak louder than words, I'm not sure that becomes true when we talk about Christianity and God's Word. Actions are forceful. Words of God's Word are forceful. So we're going to look at that tonight. And I've titled this, Kurt asked me what my title was. I said, I don't know. I got several titles you could hang on this thing. We'll just call it preaching and teaching. It's important, and we're going to take a look at what God has to say about us as far as being preachers and teachers. I'm going to start this with a passage out of James. I've heard people use this passage as an excuse to not teach and to not preach. That's James 3, verses 1 and 2. We all should be familiar with this. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. He then goes on and talks about being able to bridle the tongue. It's a member of the body that we have a real difficult time with. We are going to be, as preachers and teachers, more harshly judged by our peers. People look at us and they want us to be able to walk the same walk as the talk that we talk. And that part is true. We don't want to be hypocrites as we bring God's word through a sermon or through a lesson or in a class situation where we're teaching God's word. Or in a situation where we might be sitting down with someone that's not a Christian. And we're breaking open God's word to share with them the plan of salvation. We don't want to be a hypocrite sitting in those positions. Therefore, if you're going to let verses 1 and 2 of James 3 become a stumbling block to preaching and teaching, then we need to look further at what's going on in our own lives. If we've got things in our closet that we don't want out, maybe we feel like we're a hypocrite if we preach and teach on different things, or even preach and teach, then maybe we've got issues in our own life that we need to look at. There are a few that have never taught a lesson, never taught a class. There are a few men that have never preached a sermon. And I have to ask the question, why is that? And I think maybe God asks the same question. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Who does this pertain to? Does it just pertain to the three or four, as here in South Valley, that bring the lessons? Or does it pertain to everybody? And we're going to look at that tonight. But I wanted to open that. James 3, 1 and 2, don't let that become a stumbling block to being able to teach and preach. That's not what it's in there for. It's in there for you to know, if I'm speaking to you guys, you're probably going to put me on a little bit of a higher plane because you expect me to teach and preach the truth. Amen. All right? So, with that being said, let's start in Romans. I've got several passages we'll look at tonight. If we don't get to all of them, that's okay. Sometimes I put more in a sermon or more outline in here than what time's got available, and that's okay. I'll treat it accordingly. Romans 1, verses 15 and 16. I think this is a good place to start with this lesson. It's Paul to the church in Rome, and he's writing this letter to him, and he says in verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready. That's a statement from Paul. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, meaning he's also preached other places. But I am ready to preach to you guys in Rome. Then he goes on in verse 16, and I think sometimes this might be a hang-up that we have in our own teaching and preaching abilities. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We cannot be ashamed of ourselves thinking we don't know enough to teach someone else. Most of us sitting in here tonight have put Christ on in baptism. If we were able to do that and understood that, then we should be able to understand and teach others to do the same thing. Paul says, I am not ashamed of that gospel. He also says, I am ready to preach. Bring it on. I'm ready. Mark 16, 15. Well, can quote that probably. If not, we should be able to. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, let's go up to 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, the 11, go into all the world, that's a command, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. I look at, and I've referenced this before, but my work with Valon and the work that he does in the field, he's not bashful of the gospel. He's there to teach it. He's there to preach it. And it doesn't matter who's behind the door that he knocks on. He's going to talk to them about it. A good example, talking about what Bruce talked about in his last two sermons, of watching and looking at someone doing that kind of work in that country. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he follows it up and he says, he who believes, he's not talking about unbelievers, those people you teach that believe, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's a promise. But he who does not believe will be condemned. That also is a promise. The gospel is black and white. There is no gray area. You're either going to believe and obey God, or you're going to be a non-believer and be with Satan. Can't have it both ways. So we see in there to preach to everyone. Doesn't matter. All right, so we get discouraged. I know in sales, and most of you know I was in sales most of my life. And a lot of that time, I canvassed. I knocked on doors. But I came to understand that every 20 doors I knocked on, I was going to get a sale. I couldn't wait to get through those 20 doors because I knew somebody was going to buy a product from me and I was going to make some money. Why do we not think that same way with Christianity? How many people do we need to talk to in order to have someone listen to us and obey the gospel? I don't know what the number is. But it tells us here to preach to everybody. Don't back off. Don't become discouraged. Don't be ashamed of what you're doing. More so over, don't be ashamed of yourself thinking you fall short in what your knowledge is and your abilities are. Trust me, God will help you through it. Acts 10. Acts 10, we'll start in verse 40. Acts 10, verse 40. Him, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Now, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those who were circumcised who believed. This was amazing to me when I studied this out a little further in this lesson. He who believed were astonished. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and what they were believing. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. But back in verse 42, he, Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people. Can't get any more plain than that. Mark said, preach to the people. Paul said, I'm eager to preach. Now we got an axe, preach to the people. It's not designated who. It's everybody, the Jew and the Greek, as it said here. Back in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, here is the result of preaching. 8, verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, as he preached it, what happened? Both men and women were baptized. Again, we see the words that were spoken being taken advantage of and being put to use through baptism into salvation. It's important for our actions to be right. It's also important that we preach, teach to those that don't know. Romans 10. Romans 10, 14 and 15. Paul asks the question here, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, I look at this little small congregation in Pahrump. Eddie does his due diligence to try to get someone in there to bring a lesson on Sundays. It's tough on him. It's not a trip that we want to make every Sunday. It's not a trip that we particularly like to make. If we could just be from here to there and not have the drive, be great. But we go up there sometimes. Eddie will call me and he said, Richard, I don't have anybody for Sunday. Can you come up? What did Paul say back in Romans? I'm eager to preach. We go. And we get home and we're tired. But I felt like as we did that, we did what God wanted us to do. Del Driscoll said to me one time, whenever you are asked to do something and you say no, remember you say no to God. That was probably 10 years ago. I'll never forget that. Whenever you say no to doing something within the kingdom, you're actually saying no to God. So here, Paul said preachers are sent. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? How then shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how then shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of Christ. Think about that statement for a minute. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings, be happy. You're learning about the plan of salvation. The good tidings of good things. The good things is I'm going to show you how to have a home in heaven with God. How to get away from Satan. How to still have fun in this life and yet be a Christian. I think there's people out there that think they can't have any fun if they're a Christian. I know a lot of Christians that laugh and smile and giggle and talk and party and have a good time. It's not that we can't have a good time. Preachers are sent. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The Great Commission, if you will. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. God has given him the authority to do what he needs to do. And then what does Jesus say? He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So there's two or three things here. First of all, go and make disciples of all nations. There's nothing excluded here. There's no one excluded here. And then he says, baptize them. How? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, he goes on to say, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teach them obedience. Teach them how to do my will. Teach them how to do what I want them to do. And lo, if you do that, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. That's a promise. But the whole impact here is make disciples of everybody. Baptize them and teach them obedience. First Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9, 14 through 16. Sometimes, you know, and I've been in congregations where they count the preacher's money. Well, he can't be buying a new car. We can't afford that. We can't afford to be paying him that kind of money. Or they live in a nice home. What says that a preacher can't have a nice car and a nice home? He's doing God's work. And we have examples in New Testament to pay this guy, whoever it may be. Do you want him to count your money? I once had a boss tell me as a sales manager, he said, I'm not going to count your money. You don't count my money. We'll get along fine. In other words, don't become jealous of the money I make as a business. I won't become jealous of you if you do your job properly, the money you're going to make being a sales manager. So in 1 Corinthians 9, 14 and 16, it says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. That's not only living the gospel, but living from their abilities to preach the gospel. But I have used none of these things, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if what? I do not preach the gospel. Paul's basically saying here, I don't need your pay, but everybody that knew Paul knew that he needed help. But I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because God wants me to do it. I'm doing it because I need to teach and preach. Romans, he told Romans, I'm eager to preach. Now he's telling the Corinthians, woe to me if I don't preach. Now I'm going to ask a question here. Does that not pertain to all of us? Where is our duty as far as God's word is concerned, as far as God wants us to do? Where is our duty in teaching a class or preaching a sermon or teaching and preaching to others in a table situation to help them understand salvation? The duty lies within us. Do we say no to that duty and say no to God? I'm not doing your work. I'm just going to get along, God. I'm doing fine. I don't think that's what God wants. That's why at my age, I'm still preaching. I enjoy it. I know it's a responsibility to me to do that. I also know that I need to live to a standard that people can respect what I have to say and what I do. That's why I still do it. Paul says, if I preach that gospel, I'm not boasting of anything. I'm telling you the way it is. I'm preaching God's word to you. And woe to me if I don't do that. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you stand, by which you are saved if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So now he's coming at him, and he's telling these people in Corinth, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand. You got to remember, this first letter in Corinthians, he was not a happy camper with his congregation. And he goes on in verse 2, and he says, to which you were saved. You heard me, you believed me, you stood on it, and you were saved. Now, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, that's what's going to happen, you're saved. If you hold fast to that word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Today's vernacular, were you baptized just to get wet? Were you baptized because a friend got baptized? Did you believe in vain? If that's the case, you probably weren't saved anyway. But Paul says, I preached you the gospel, and you received it, and you stood on it, and you were saved. You were baptized. You believed what you heard. If you hold fast to that word I preached you, you're going to be fine. But if you were baptized for other purposes and other reasons, you were baptized in vain. So we've seen in Corinthians here in these two passages, there's a reason to pay. There's also a reason to say, woe is me if I don't do what God wants me to do. And now in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1, Paul says, I preached it to you. You received it. Now, remember, don't let anything get in your way of your Christianity. I'm going to end this in Titus, 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy first, and then we'll end in Titus. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now, this was a charge to Timothy. Most of us understand that this letter is also to us. If you don't understand that, meet with me afterwards, and we'll go over 1 and 2 Timothy. I just taught a class on it. He says in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. You can't get any more simple than that. Preach the word. And then what else does he say? Be ready in season and out of season. When Eddie gives me that call on Friday night and he has no preacher, can you come Sunday? I need to be ready for that. If someone comes to you at work or family friend and we're not sitting in here for some reason, for whatever reason, and they want to know about the plan of salvation, that's not something you have actually prepared for, but you should know how to handle it. That's being ready out of season. I looked at this verse a long time ago, and I looked at it. It's like a motel. All right? We just traveled 3,100 miles, stayed in 9 different motel rooms. All right? It's not in season for motel rooms, but every one of the rooms was clean and ready to go. Is our life that way? Are we clean and ready to go when we're called upon? Paul says, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. And then in Titus 2, verse 1, he basically tells Titus the same thing. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That's what we're to preach. That's what we're to teach. Do actions speak louder than words? I don't think so when it comes to Christianity. You need them both. They're both important. I understand that it's a difficult time to teach or to preach when we might have things in our closet that would make us a hypocrite in doing so. If that's the case, then you need to look in the mirror and ask what's going on. But it's our duty. God expects us to teach and preach. His word says so. With that, we'll issue an invitation tonight. There might be some in here that have not put their Lord on in baptism. If there is, now's the opportunity. Now's the time. Don't put it off till tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. Same is true if you have sin in your life or if you've got issues in your life. Maybe you're trying to handle some things on your own and it isn't working out so well. Prayers of a congregation work. Prayers of your fellow Christian brothers and sisters work. Don't ever think it doesn't. And sometimes you just can't work it out on your own. If that's the case, we'd be more than happy to sit with you and pray with you and pray for you. If anyone has a need, let it be made known as we stand and as Michael leads us in the invitation.